Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of Pop Therapy.
You're not going to say that in Swedish?
I absolutely am not going to say that in Swedish. Are you going to say that in Japanese?
No.
My, how the turns have tabled.
Oh, how the turns have tabled.
Well, I just asked my podcast co-host if we had anything to talk about, and she said no. So this is just a quick update. There will be no podcast.
No, usually we start with the Kardashians, and there's actually no news this week.
No news, but maybe fake news?
I wouldn't say it's fake. I would just say I don't care about it.
Or it's unverified. Both, because we're talking about two different pieces of news.
Wait, what are you talking about?
Well, you put in the notes that Chloe's having a boy.
Oh, that's... No, I thought we decided to delete that.
Well, it's still in there.
Well, we're so taking allegedly. It out. We're taking it out. We don't know what the gender is. We don't even know if it's been born yet, when it's due.
But you know what? If she's doing it could be a surrogate... They. It could be, for sure. Like, we should not be gender stereotyping.
Gender stereotyping.
But let's just think about this here. She's doing it via surrogate. Mm-hmm. And so via. Via rail.
Like via rail. That's exactly what I was thinking about.
Yeah, it is via
rail. It's via rail.
But it's via.
It's via.
Okay. Do a pool. Anyway, she's doing it by a surrogate. So if she wanted,
seems it would make contrived.
It is contrived. But it would make sense that she would want, maybe she wants a bunch of girls, but it would kind of make sense in my head for her to have a boy.
Yeah.
So I think that even though it was a complete rumor found on Us Weekly, which is a very unreliable source, yeah. I think we're right. I think we are the news. We are reporting
the news. We are the news.
Chloe's having a baby boy, allegedly. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's going to be named Wolf.
No.
We'll see.
It's going to be named False.
Wait, what? Oh,
because her sister's name is True. True and False. Yeah.
That would actually be funny.
She should.
It's like when they were false North Thompson. They thought they were going to be named like South.
What? She could have, because there's four of them.
Or even like Easton. East and
I
West.
I don't like Easton. Oh, East and West actually kind of sounds...
It's not bad.
Flame. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. The other Kardashian news is everyone was upset today, not today, this week about Kylie's airplane usage. Mm-hmm. So she apparently took a 17-minute flight to some other place near LA.
Yeah.
And this all comes from this like flight tracker app that now, so I don't know if this is a new thing, but I feel like for the past year, people have been watching this flight tracker app and tracking these celebrities' flights.
Yeah, well, there are these Instagram accounts saying like so-and-so left today or now at this airport and they're going here. And it's like, that's so creepy.
I know. I remember there was all this talk about whether Taylor Swift was going to the Met Gala because she had flown to New York that day. Mm. And so it's all these rumors fly from
she
these
flights.
She
wasn't there, right? Oh, nice. Yeah. Good job.
No, she wasn't there. But anyways, everyone is upset. And it does make sense. Like, why is she using a private jet for a 17-minute flight? That's got to be like what?
Well, they were also upset because she posted a picture with Travis Scott and was like, yours or mine, with both their jets.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, that's the kind of shit I want to see. Like, if you've got this much money,
well, that's the thing,
it's flaunt like, it.
I'm gonna bring it back to Elon Musk. He's the one who's sending out these space shuttles or ships, what are they, rocket ships, every other day.
Yeah,
just to test them and to go check out the moon, whatever.
Yeah, and nobody's criticizing Musk or the other guy, Jeff Bezos.
Did you see the recent picture of him?
He is shirtless. White. He is the whitest man I've ever seen.
That's what you picked up from
it? He's translucent. He absolutely has no color to his skin.
That's what you picked up from it?
Absolutely. What did you pick up?
Did you see his torso?
No, was he hot?
Did you... No. So did you see that meme about like torso and Tesla? Hold on, I'm gonna no. You can keep talking. I'm gonna show you this meme.
All I saw was that he's extremely white and he was like, it was too bright for my eyes.
Extremely white.
He's got no melanin in his skin.
Here.
Okay.
I'm showing Laura the meme.
Okay, so it's a meme of, it's a very loose drawing of Elon Musk with a very tiny head and a square shaped body. Ha. Okay. And then
what the fuck was that, Laura?
I just saw the second one. This is very hard to explain on an audio only dynamic.
Yeah, I guess I could have shown you offline.
We'll post it to our story so you can know what we're talking about. Yeah. But what is this actually making fun of? Is this trying to say that he's got a square body?
Yeah.
His body's like basically the shape of a Tesla.
Yeah.
Like the square geometric shape.
My cat apparently thinks it's time to play fetch.
It's always time to play fetch with
no.
memes. No. Memes, I'll play fetch with
don't
you.
Don't give her ideas. Anyway, so
apparently yeah, I also saw a article about Elon Musk where he was like saying that he's not having sex right now. I didn't read anything beyond that. Just like everyone's been talking about how he's impregnating all these people. He's like, I'm not impregnating people. I'm not even fucking these days. That's probably not what he said, but that's what I'm making up from the headline that I read.
Oh, I would have believed that if you didn't say that.
Yeah.
You don't say that.
Heard it here first.
Okay, well, Kylie is rich AF and she's just showing us.
Yeah, and that's that on that.
That's on period.
Into Bravo
Wait,
news.
But they're also mad at Drake.
What did he do?
So Drake recently or has been taking flights from Toronto to Hamilton, which are 14 minutes.
Why?
What do you... You literally just covered for Kylie for her 17-minute flight.
No, I want to see them flaunting their shit that they own.
Uh-huh.
But I don't understand the sense of taking a short flight.
Okay, so you're okay with the post that's like
yours or mine.
Right.
For sure. It's just like yours or mine planes. To take a longer flight.
Right, okay.
Yeah.
Then you can carry on.
Okay.
I agree. Like, why?
It just doesn't make any sense. Like, no. It's like so administrative. Like, just take a scooter.
You would.
Okay, in Bravo News, Schwartz and Sandy's had their grand opening.
I can't believe it's open.
It's finally opened. They finally got their shit together. I mean, when was that Vanderpump Last on? Was that like a year plus ago? I feel like they've been doing this for like 2 years before it's been open.
No, it hasn't been a year.
It feels like it's been a very
long
time.
We were covering it on the podcast when we first started. That was back in January, February.
Were we?
Yeah.
No way. Vanderpump was not out this year.
Yeah, it was.
No way.
Are you fucked?
Probably. Anyways, it's open and there was a bunch of pictures. It's like, I describe it as 70s eclectic random. They personally, the Tom Toms, described it as delightfully kitschy, which
what
I think is
mean?
Pretty accurate. It's like...
Yeah, VPR reunion part one was January 24th.
Oh, okay. So Schwartz and Sandy's... Okay.
They did say they'd open in July.
Okay. Maybe it didn't take as long. Time's just weird. But I thought it was honestly... better, like the Schwartz and Sandy's name kind of makes sense now that I've seen it,
right?
Because I thought Schwartz and Sandy's was gonna be like a cool place, but it really is like off the wall, wonky wanky. And mm-hmm. So I feel like the name fits. I don't hate
it. If it fits, it sits
exactly. So that's that on that. In other news, Shep from Southern Charm and his girlfriend Taylor have officially broken up.
So they were sort of alluding to problems between... They started to allude to problems between them in the latest episodes of Southern Charm. I would say more so the last episode, last week.
Which I think we will talk about in our TV recap.
Yeah, and then right after, I saw like the next day that there was news they did break up.
Yeah.
It was weird that they released that news.
Okay, it is, but also I'm beginning to think, like, is it because of what she's seen on the show?
Yeah. I mean... I would break up with a reality TV star.
Because.
While watching the show.
Just briefly, we'll get into it in more detail later. But in the latest episode of Southern Charm actually this whole season has been, a storyline has been how Shep is like not ready to commit and not ready to have babies. And
he's 42 years old.
Yeah. And Taylor's obviously getting upset about it and like coming to the end of her rope. So that's been a big storyline this season. And I feel like he's the type of person, obviously, who's going to be saying, oh no, like. Maybe someday I wouldn't say no, like giving her those kind of lines.
Yeah.
But then you see in his interviews and what he's actually saying on TV is basically
his confessionals.
Like, yeah, he's basically like, absolutely not. I don't want to settle down. Mm-hmm. I don't want to close off my options. I'm not ready. Thank God she's not pregnant. All these things that I bet she's like, okay, this is how you really feel. And now I'm finally seeing it. Like, screw this. I'm done.
Yeah, because how is he supposed to get himself out of that when she's clearly watching it?
Right. He'd have to say like, oh, that was just for the show. It's like, that makes me look like a complete idiot. Why would you do that?
And good for her, because I think a lot more of the women on reality TV should have that much self-respect when you watch these confessionals back.
I agree. And it's clearly, like, their relationship was extremely toxic, at least for this season of Southern Charm.
Shep's never going to have a healthy relationship. He is Peter Pan.
Yeah, he is.
That was in, like, the first episode of season one of Southern Charm. I remember Cameron was saying that all the men in Charleston have Peter Pan syndrome.
Yeah, I could see it.
Yeah.
In Beverly Hills news, they launched the mid-season trailer of Real Housewives of Beverly Hills.
Did you watch it?
I did watch it today.
And?
I don't remember anything, like, being super stunned by anything. What was your takeaways?
I didn't watch it.
Oh, good. So she added it to the notes, and she didn't watch it.
Hey, I am going through a lot right now.
Priorities.
I'm trying to hang out with you. I'm trying to pack my boxes.
We know.
Yeah.
But we don't talk about it.
No, we don't.
It's not discussed.
Nope.
Okay, well, the main thing was they obviously foreshadowed this whole drama with Kathy Hilton and the rest of the ladies. And it does seem like it's definitely not a Kyle versus Kathy situation.
Like, yeah, so what does it look like? What is Kyle, this Aspen conflict?
It's unclear, but Kyle at one point says, I think there's someone in this group who's trying to make my sister look bad.
Oh.
And then they cut to, like, Erica, Lisa, and, like, someone else. So, ooh. And then there's a bunch of clips of, like, Lisa basically talking shit. And she's like, well, if we're going to put Crystal on blast for this and Garcelle on blast for this, then we also got to put her on blast for this. So I think it does have to do with all those, like, allegedly racist things that came up, I would guess. But I don't know.
It didn't help that, like, shortly after the Aspen conflict was released, she was at a Trump party.
Yeah. Yeah.
Didn't like that.
It's not great.
No.
But, yeah, I don't know. I didn't think it was too stunning of a revelation from just the trailer. But obviously we'll continue watching.
Well, I'm just going to keep having low expectations for Beverly Hills now because I'm honestly bored.
Yeah. And, okay, did you see that Erica, Diana, and Lisa recently went on vacation together?
I did see a video. I didn't have the sound on. But so Erica Jane was served with a $50 million lawsuit for racketeering.
Yeah, right when she got back off from the strip. Yeah.
As she got off the plane. Am I right in saying that she, like, tossed the papers when they tried to serve her?
No, she still had them in her hands when her and, like, Lisa were walking away.
Then I don't know what I was envisioning.
Yeah, she definitely, like, resisted taking them for a bit, and then finally she took them. But so I was trying to figure out what this whole racketeering suit is about, and I don't entirely know, but the gist of it that I'm getting.
It's when you lose in tennis and throw your racket at the opponent and they start tearing up.
Oh my god.
Racketeering.
Wow, that's not bad.
Thank you.
I mean, that's more, makes sense more than what I've discovered.
So what did you discover?
Well, I actually
wrong.
A wrong bitch.
No, it's that Donald Trump sound. Wrong.
Oh no.
I'm gonna have to show you.
Speaking of Trump. So I didn't Google what racketeering is, but I did Google what this lawsuit was about. And basically it's this guy who was formerly the co-counsel with Joe, or what's his name? What's her husband's name?
Tom Girardi.
Tom Girardi. Yeah, so he was co-counsel with him on this Lion Air thing and was basically kind of like almost like a whistleblower, it seemed, in terms of saying that this whole, that these people didn't get their settlements. And then ultimately, remember how there was that suit that was commenced in one jurisdiction and then it got moved to California? Yes. That's this suit.
Oh,
so
okay.
This suit that's been moved to California.
The one that Rinna and whoever else said, she's been cleared.
Yeah, absolutely not cleared. Mm-hmm. But now it's interesting because the lawyer who was formerly co-counsel with Tom Girardi has taken on the case on behalf of the plaintiffs. So it seems like it's a class. It sounds to me like I didn't I didn't read this in much detail, but it sounds to me like it's almost like a class action suit, and he's the representative plaintiff, or like he's been assigned the litigation. I don't exactly know how it's structured, but basically it's the guy who is formally acting on the case with him.
Well, that's a strong ass case if you've got that happening.
Yeah, and he's basically like, this whole thing was a criminal enterprise, and Erica was the front woman for it, and she was putting out all of this facade of saying they're so wealthy to keep up the facade that this Girardi Keys law firm was super successful, when really it was just they were spending all of these people's settlement money, and that
on her glam squad.
Yeah, and that there was like no way that she was unaware that all of, like, she would submit her expenses for her glam squad, for her clothes, for everything to the law firm, and like, obviously, why would those be personal expenses that you're expensing to a law firm? So anyways, that's, he's like basically saying there's absolutely no way that she was unaware when they were like, how else is your shit getting paid? You're expensing it to the law firm. It's not a law firm
expense. I hate her.
Yes.
I hate her.
I honestly kind of hope she goes down.
Me too.
I mean, knock on wood, don't karma me, but I don't know. I still don't believe her.
I don't either. So, in other news, our queen, Rihanna, is expanding her empire because it needs to be bigger. And she is starting to, well, she's going to be selling hair products. So Fenty Hair.
Oh, like hair products, not hair? Like she's not selling extensions?
So the patent got released and it says hair bands, picks, bows, clips, scrunchies. I don't see like actual hair. It just says like bobby pins, ribbons for the hair, decorative articles for the hair.
Hmm.
Oh, toupees and false hair.
Oh, well, there you go.
There you go.
It's interesting because I feel like, how do you make those things like bobby pins chic?
People are gonna buy it because it's Fenty Hair.
I know, but it's just like, if it's coming from Rihanna, it's gotta look high class, high brow. And how do you make those things look really high class and high brow? Like, how do you make a claw clip look expensive?
Hey, some of them do.
What do they look
recently?
Like
recently? Highbrow.
Great explanation.
Could you imagine I just decide to come out with like a Shireen hairline and I start selling like bobby pins? I'm like, ah, oh, Shireen's bobby pins though.
I'd be very confused. Do you think
I'd be successful?
I believe in you.
Oh, don't do that. Don't, what's his name?
Yeah, Lisa's husband.
Don't Lisa's husband me. What's his name?
I don't remember.
Oh.
You know I'm not good with names.
No, that's true. You still don't know mine.
Still don't know my name. Nice. Okay, moving on.
Okay, well, Barbie actually has a star-studded cast, including Will Ferrell.
Really? Well, no. Didn't we see him in the rollerblading scene?
I didn't.
Yeah, he was in those rollerblading pics. It was like,
I didn't see that.
I saw that.
Well, tell us about it.
Well, it was those, we spoke about this on the pod, about Neon Barbie and what's her name? Ryan Gosling and Barbie. What's her name?
Margot Robbie.
Margot Robbie. They were rollerblading in LA, and then in the pictures that they, I think they were posted on like Daily Mail or something, or some site like that, and there's a bunch of pictures, and in another group of rollerbladers was a bunch of guys on suits or wearing suits, and one of them was Will Ferrell.
So did you see the cast?
No.
Oh my gosh. Okay, well, Simu Liu is in it.
Nice.
America Ferrera.
Random.
Kate McKinnon.
Interesting.
Guess who else is in it?
Who?
Issa Rae.
Oh, you love her.
I love her. Issa Rae is in it. Haley Steinfeld is in it. And Michael, is it Sarah?
Yeah.
Okay, Michael Cera.
Hmm.
It's super random, right?
That is a, like, very random cast. What are their roles
even going to be? I don't understand.
What's the storyline going to be?
That I also don't know. Like, there's nothing about it.
Like, and what's it conceptually like? Are they acting as Barbies, or are they pretending that they're real life? Like, are they dolls or are they humans?
Dude, I don't know.
They must be humans.
I can't see anything about it.
Although Ryan Gosling on those rollerblades literally looked like
he gave you the ick.
Stick trying to ride rollerblades.
Not that he was ever attractive, but he gave the ick for sure.
Yeah, definitely embarrassing.
In other news, Shayna from Love is Blind is married.
Interesting.
And her pictures actually looked really pretty.
Really?
Yeah.
What's her hubby look like?
He's not bad looking at all. Not that I like really remember him, but I do remember.
Does he love Jesus? That's a very important thing to her.
Yeah, I don't know.
Okay, so he's not unattractive.
Right.
Oh, I think he must be Jesus because she wrote on her caption.
He must be Jesus.
I have found the one whom my soul loves. Song of Solomon 3:4.
Does that mean that...
That's a Bible verse.
Easter is here?
No, Easter's in April. Gosh.
But you said he is Jesus.
Oh, no.
Isn't that when Jesus returns?
He loves or rises Jesus.
From the dead? I'm really trying not to be insensitive here. What is it?
Dude, I don't know. I was only Christian for like a period of time.
A hot minute.
I know that he went into a tomb on a Friday and he came out on a Monday.
Going up.
You know what? That's totally, on a Tuesday. That's totally wrong. Okay, let's stop talking about things we know nothing about.
That was insensitive.
Let's talk about more Love is Blind
news. Please forgive me, Jesus. Okay. Well, Blake Moynes, not Moynez,
mm-hmm.
and Natalie were recently on a conservation trip to save the turtles together.
Okay, so Natalie is the one who is with Shane from the last season. Blake Moynes is Katie Thurston's pick, who then they broke up. Yeah. And he's like obsessed with conservation.
It's unknown whether they traveled together, but they did become friends through the mission.
There's no way that as a coincidence two reality stars go on the same random-ass conservative mission.
I agree. So Blake posted a story of Natalie eating and laughing, and it says, successful morning with turtles, breakfast date.
I wonder if they met through Blake and Giannina's that show.
Yeah. Giannina also recently had an interview where she said she could see herself getting engaged to Blake Horseman.
Wow, really?
Yeah.
They do look really lovey-dovey in all their pics, so
mm-hmm.
maybe he's matured.
Yeah, maybe.
All right, any other news?
Bubbly is coming out with watermelon-flavored bubbly.
Okay.
You're not a fan of watermelon-flavored stuff, right?
I don't. Like, watermelon White Claws, I think, are gross.
Oh, my God. I think watermelon flavor is elite.
No.
That is the flavor. When you have Jolly Ranchers, you got to go watermelon.
No. And when we made margaritas the other day, my boyfriend made a watermelon margarita, and I made pineapple jalapeno. Mm. Mine was obviously better.
Yeah, but anything jalapeno for a margarita is fire.
Yeah. The watermelon was literally just like, I don't know. Watermelon has this weird fake taste even when it's real. Can't
watermelon
explain it.
Sugar.
Ha.
The Seaside song.
What Seaside song?
You love that remix.
Do you know? No.
Yeah, exactly. Da. That's why I blanked. Okay. Don't give me that look.
I was going with Harry Styles, the OG.
The OG. Well, I think that's it for Hot Tops.
Yeah, not a lot of news this week. So let's jump into Pitcher Ditch a Bitch. So I haven't watched any new shows, but I did watch your pitch of last week. So I believe you
you watched a pitch?
An apology, a thank you.
Not get carried away. This is the bare minimum.
You always criticize me for not watching your...
Because you don't.
I know, but I did. So...
One time.
Where's my thank you? Where is my... You are the best podcast host
welcome.
Ever.
Welcome. I pitched it to you. You liked it. You're welcome.
I did really like it. So... I watched the rehearsal, the first two episodes.
That's all that there are. There's just two episodes.
Okay. So I watched all of the episodes on HBO Max.
Mm-hmm.
And it actually was hilarious.
Yeah.
And I pretty much knew exactly what was happening. Because I heard you explained it all to me. And then Marcus at the bar also explained the entire episode to me. I was like, did you not listen to our podcast episode where Shereen already explained this whole pod? But yeah, okay, keep going. Yeah. So I heard about it twice and then I watched it and
What were your thoughts?
I loved it. But I also am like, how did you find these humans? Because the humans,
actors?
No. Okay. So for the first episode with the woman... This was the one where he was trying to disclose to his trivia partners that he didn't have a master's degree. And okay, so the first thing that I really was like astounded by was the set that they built. I was like, there's no way this can be the real set. But then like when you were watching from inside the bar and you could see through the door, and it was just like, it wasn't, it was like the warehouse that you could see. So I'm like, okay, this actually I think is the set that they built to like the T of this bar. So I was impressed by that. And then the woman who was playing the character of the woman he was going to confess his secret to, holy shit, she is an incredible actress.
Yeah.
Like from one little meeting of this woman, she had her mannerisms, she had what she would say, she had everything down pat. I was like, this is incredible.
Totally.
And then, yeah, I think that was the two things that astounded me the most. But the thing that I thought the most surprising was that the people that they're picking to do this are so socially awkward and strange. They're like the same people, as type of people as Nathan for you or Nathan Fielder, like kind of awkward, quirky, very dry. They don't act normally.
So while you were watching it, were you like, yeah, this is totally Shireen's humor?
I think so.
Okay, the big question is, do you think it's real or not?
Well, that's the thing where I'm like, because the first episode, I was like, okay, they found one weird person. But then the next episode, they find another weird person. And like, no offense to these people, but they're not socially lubricated. Like, they're not...
Interesting choice of words.
They're not moving in normal ways or behaving in normal ways.
Well, I think this is the geniusness of Nathan. Him being able to like push it so far that you wonder like, how is this real? Is this real? And why am I still watching? But I think it's all fake. Like, I
think...
The
whole thing?
I think the whole thing is fake. Like, that's why it's so funny to me. Because it's like The Office, where it's just kind of scripted, kind of improvised, and it's just you're building off of really awkward stories the entire time.
Yeah, like, certainly some parts, I was like, there's no normal human who would act like this in this scenario. Like, when they were in the pool talking, like, this is not how a normal person...
elderly man.
Yeah. Like, this is not how a normal person would be like, this is a normal thing to do. I'm just going to get in this pool and swim in this random place with this random person who I just met. But that does take kind of the wind out of the sails if it's all fake. I think that makes the show worse.
What? Yeah. I think that makes it better.
No.
Because then it's just like incredible acting, incredible direction, incredible.
I want it to be incredibly weird people doing incredibly weird things. And it's like, how did we stumble upon these people and cast these people who are so weird?
Yeah.
I want it to be organic. I don't want it to be contrived. It takes like the joy but and like, out of it.
When Nathan was creating that whole diagram of... of things that could be said at the bar on his laptop with the strap. Like, you think that's real?
Well, that's him producing the show. I'm meaning, like, I think that's all real. What question I have is if the people who they're putting in these situations are real and if their problems are real. You're saying, like, you think the entire thing is contrived.
Yeah.
Like, this guy is not a real person who plays in these trivia games. He doesn't have a real secret. They're not real friends. But they had pictures from, like, their trivia nights.
There's something called Photoshop.
Yeah, but I don't know.
But, so, okay. So, them walking by the construction site and, like, trivia answers being dropped subtly. You think that... scripted or not?
Well, it's scripted from Nathan's side. He's scripting the entire thing.
So then at the end, when he says, like, I actually helped you cheat and pretended to confess that.
I didn't see that guy get that mad. Like, you had mentioned that.
No, he didn't get mad.
Yeah.
But, like, he's going to watch this episode back and see that Nathan lied if this is real and get offended.
But
that's
didn't
why
he
I think
tell,
it's fake.
But didn't Nathan tell him at the end of the episode, didn't he say... I was actually dropping answers to you?
No, he said... Laura, he said that to the actor.
No, but I thought it was because he practiced this... I thought... I swear we watched it. I swear he had the conversation with the real guy.
No, he didn't.
Because he told them... He told the real... No, he did.
He didn't, Laura.
He did.
He said it to the actor.
I know he did. But he... But that was all to show... In his fake conversation that he was practicing with the guy where he discloses his secret, which was that it was like he's practiced all these conversations with that guy already. I swear, I'm going to watch it again.
Yeah, watch it again because that's not what happens.
Okay.
I watched it twice.
So did I.
You watched it twice?
We watched it twice.
Why?
Because there was nothing on TVs and Travis said, why don't you put that show on again?
Oh.
So.
You guys are so old.
I know. Well, anyways, I don't have any new shows to pitch because I've just been, I've there's too many shows. Like literally, I never have shows to still watch on Sunday. And I still had shows to watch on Sunday. Like, yes, I didn't have as much time to like watch shows this weekend, but I still had shows to watch. Like, I had to catch up on Love Island. There's 5 episodes out. Mm-hmm. I had to catch up on F-Boy Island. There was another 3 episodes. There's Big Brother. There's The Challenge. Then yeah. There's Southern Charm, Real Housewives.
There's a lot for me to watch even right now, and that's saying a lot.
Yeah.
But I finished season 9 of Made in Chelsea, which means that I'm on season 8, and I gotta say, I started it and didn't continue.
What? You're done?
No, I'm not done. I think I need a big break.
Yeah, I mean, you went through, like, what, 13 seasons now?
No, more. Oh, 14.
That's just a lot.
One more.
That's a lot.
That's a lot.
That's a lot.
I like it a lot.
Yeah. So we'll see if we have any new shows. I haven't seen any that have popped up that I've been like, ooh, that's interesting. I want to watch that. But
I did go back and watch Nathan For You from season 1 again. That's about it.
See, I didn't realize that his show was actually very similar in concept to this, The Rehearsal.
Yeah, like, it's, I mean, that's
pretty much
his
the exact
humor.
Same thing.
That's his humor.
Yeah. But it's like the almost the exact same concept. Like him trying to help this guy.
Kind of.
Because the one episode of Nathan For You that I watched was, because I Googled the top 10 episodes of Nathan For You. Mm. And then I watched the episode where this old man was trying to find Francis. Oh my God. Oh my gosh.
Oh my God.
Okay.
Who's going to explain it?
I will. Okay. So I wrote in our notes app, Francis, classic fuck boy. Mm-hmm. And then I was sitting here as we were prepping for the pod. I was like, who the fuck is Francis? And she was like, you wrote that in. And I was like, who is Francis?
We were both wondering who Francis is. So then we were like, maybe he was a character in The Rehearsal. So we went and looked at the cast for episode 1 and 2. There was no Francis. So we're like, okay, I guess this must have just been a mistake.
Yeah, and so I deleted it. I was like, okay, we're not talking about Francis. And now I know.
Now we know.
I can't believe I found my way back here in my mind.
Holy shit.
This is shocking. Okay, so Francis was trying to find this woman who he had dated. He was like a very old man, so he dated her very long time ago in like high school-ish. And he was really like thinking that she was the one that got away effectively, and he didn't have much information about her. He just kind of knew like they went to the same high school and this was her name at the time, and she had been married maybe a couple times. Yeah, and then as they were going like to find this woman, and like they kept on learning more things, and then once they started just uncovering all these facts, and it was like Francis is basically a fuckboy and he's romanticized his behavior in this relationship so far that he's lost sight of reality. Hmm. And he like treated her like shit, cheated on her. Hmm. Like, and she moved on to bigger and better things, obviously. Hmm. And I was like, hey, so Francis is a fuckboy. And then I was like, why did they say that this is the number one episode? Because I was expecting like a beautiful ending, and it was not beautiful.
Remember that episode?
Well,
I'm gonna have to watch it again, then maybe my memory will be jogged.
Yeah. Anyways, that's all we've got for Pitch or Ditch a Bitch. So should we get into our TV recaps?
Let's do it.
All right. I want to start with The Bachelorette, even though I know you didn't finish the episode.
Yeah. Well,
how far did you get?
I was an hour in. So at this point. Oh, shit.
We'll get there. You can just tell me when you stopped watching. Okay. So it starts with Rachel's date with Zach, and they go to like this Me and You premiere movie, okay, which is basically all these home videos.
I don't like Rachel.
Okay, tell me more.
I gotta say, I just don't like her. I don't think she is living in reality. Okay, obviously they're all not living in reality, but how do I explain this?
I think she has no sense of self.
100% she does not.
And I think she just really wants someone. She's like being a pick me girl.
Yeah, and it's almost like she wants to be saved.
Yeah.
But she's definitely a pick me girl.
Definitely. I just don't see any real like confidence or substance or personality coming out.
There's no substance.
Yeah, I agree. And like, I think that's why it's so hard to see. Being a pilot
is her entire personality.
Yeah. And I think she became a pilot because she thought it would be cool, not because she wanted to fly.
Mm-hmm.
That's being mean, but.
Well, we are playing armchair therapist on this podcast.
It's true. But I think that's why I don't see really any connection with these people. Like, so she went on this date with this guy and they were watching home videos of each other. So obviously they both got emotional talking about their families, seeing their families. They connected over the fact that they both watched planes as a kid with their dad, which honestly is that like such a unique experience. Like, I don't think it's uncommon for people to like look at planes landing.
No. Okay. That entire date just reminded me of how bizarre the whole concept of Bachelor is. Just fabricating these situations to make you fall in love quickly or just be infatuated or
totally.
The idea of being together.
Exactly. Like I wrote down. That
was your first fucking date? You're watching home videos of one another?
Yeah. That's what I said. I'm like, they're totally. I said, okay, this is prompting bonding for sure. Which is but all.
But it's not real.
It's not real. It's contrived.
It's contrived.
Yeah. But then she
I'll drink
like
to that.
She basically was saying like, "Oh my gosh, I felt so bonded to him."
No, okay. So there was they had planted paparazzi because it was a red carpet premiere, and she goes to pose for the picture, and what's his name? Zach. He like bows down and does what Will Smith did to Jada Smith on the carpet. Do you know what I'm talking about?
No,
I'm doing it right now. He like got on one knee and he was like this, presenting her.
Okay,
and then Rachel was like, I had never been in a situation like that before, and doing it with Zach was just so amazing. He made me feel so comfortable, this and that. And it's like, girl, this is your first reality. Fucking date with this guy.
Yeah.
I would not read into it.
No. But she at least didn't send him home.
No, for sure.
He got the rose.
Why did he cry so much?
I mean, I had tears.
Why did you cry so much?
It was just like, I feel like whenever you see, because maybe your relationship with your parents is different, but if I saw my parents saying really nice things to me while I've been like cut off from everyone, and they're saying like really sweet things that you don't hear all the time, I would get emotional.
Oh. Yeah, fair.
But maybe my parents, well, my mom did. I would cry.
On a first date?
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know. It would move me. Anyways, Gabby, in the meanwhile, goes to hang out at the house. And it was incredibly awkward.
It was so awkward. And it brought me back to our conversation from last week where we were talking about how the power isn't in the girl's hands and it's in the guy's hands. And it's basically like them trying to win over a guy and get them to pick them.
Yeah. And also, I think just when they're like, this wasn't a planned group date or anything. And I think when the rules and the structure are out the window, these guys do not know how to behave. Like, they forget that it's just like you're supposed to be getting to know this girl as opposed to being a cast member on The Bachelor.
Totally.
And so
a lot of them are there to start their career.
Yeah.
In whatever TV.
And you know, when you're on a group date, it's like, okay, this is how it works. Like, we go pull her separately. We have these little chats. But when they're all just hanging out, they forget that, like, you're still trying to date this chick. You should do what you would do in a normal group situation where there's a girl you're interested in. Go talk to her. Go try to, like, make a moment happen.
Yeah.
Instead, they're all just, like, hanging out, waiting for her to come around. And it was just, like, so incredibly uncomfortable. And it started what became, like, a real spin out of Gabby, and she had a lot of insecurities this entire week.
She did, but okay, so I'm gonna fast forward to her date with what's his name?
Eric.
I knew it was an E. Was it an E? Yeah, it's an E.
Eric.
And she kind of, so she takes a breather from their date and talks to production about how she's having all these emotions and wants to be loved and this and that, and it's hard for her because I guess she got triggered by the conversation about being estranged from her mom. And then she comes back and tells him, like, this is what's going on for me, and I just have a lot of emotions and blah, blah, blah. I don't know if I'm right for this role. And he says, like, you just sound like someone who's really in tune with their emotions. And I think that's exactly it for Gabby.
Yeah.
She's a self-aware queen, and she's in tune with her emotions, and she knows where they come from, and she knows what she wants and needs, but I think she's just in that stage of her life where she's doubting herself and whether or not she's capable of being in a relationship because she has those emotions.
Yeah. I think she's being required to like face it head on.
Yeah.
With this type of scenario where you're potentially going to get engaged, and it's like, okay, well, this is a fast forward process. And I think she's really uncomfortable with the fact that she's disclosing all of these like really deep wounds that are very hard to talk about and articulate to these people that she met 5 seconds ago.
Well, it's that, and like the fact that she's now accountable to so many people, whereas on Clayton's season, she was just accountable to Clayton.
Yeah.
And now she feels responsible for so many other people's feelings, and mm-hmm. she just doesn't know how to handle it.
Yeah.
Which, like, who does?
But I think she is handling it pretty well, I would
say. I agree. Like, she is my favorite, for sure.
For sure, I agree. Like, it was weird how it kind of turned from, like, last week, Rachel feeling unloved, to this week, Gabby feeling unloved. And it's like,
what do you expect when you have two bachelorettes?
No, totally. And the fact that they're focusing so much on this, I'm like, this is exactly what these producers wanted for this season. They weren't like, two best friends finding love. They're
like, let's see. Two best friends in a room. They might kiss.
But they basically wanted these women to go through all of this torment and struggle and weird dynamics and awkwardness and uncomfortableness. Like, there is no way that they didn't think about this exact scenario playing out and be like, oh, this is great for TV, like at the expense of these two women's emotions.
Yeah. So you were telling me what was happening at the end of the episode.
Yeah. So basically the next, it kind of stems from this football date. So they go on this football group date. Did you see that?
No.
Okay. So they go on a football group date, and in the cocktail party time period, they're all kind of like having these different one-on-one conversations with the men. And it seems like in the chat one-on-one between Rachel and Gabby, they were kind of talking about, when are we going to end this, like, when are we going to cut this off? Because Gabby basically said, well, the people that aren't certain whether it's me or you and are in the middle, it's starting to look a bit sus, which mm-hmm. is what we were talking about last week. We're like, well, if you don't know by now, they're such different personalities.
Yeah.
You're just there for the clout, and you're not there because you actually, or you have no idea, but you're not self-aware and don't know your emotions.
Yeah.
So that was basically what Gabby's saying. And then they're like, well, we'll see how this week goes. We'll see how it plays out. So ultimately, it seemed to me behind the scenes, somebody must have been telling these men it's time to declare your intentions. Like
producers?
Yeah. Even if Gabby and Rachel didn't articulate that to them. Because all of a sudden on the group date, all these men are coming up to Gabby and basically telling her, like, I'm interested in Rachel. So there was two men that came up to her.
Wait, just to clarify. Men were going up to Gabby to tell them they were into Rachel.
Yeah. There was two of them. So there was the Tyler and Hayden. Hayden is like, you won't know who I'm talking about. Tyler was the guy
Hayden
with the
grocery store Joe.
Oh, well, he's...
He looks like grocery store Joe.
Like the Walmart version of grocery
store Joe.
Yeah,
like the dollar store version.
Yeah, good call. And then the other one was Tyler, the kind of Tarzan looking one.
Oh, yeah.
So both of them told Gabby... Or no, sorry. Tyler was really nice about it. And then... There was three of them. Three of them told Gabby. The Tarzan-looking guy, Tyler, who was like really nice about it, and then this Hayden guy. Mm-hmm. And this Hayden guy, when he was telling it to Gabby, he basically said that you're rough around the edges, and I just don't think my morals basically align with you, or they align more with Rachel. And okay. So he was like mean about it.
Okay. So I know. How do I say this? Rachel is not self-aware. She doesn't have a sense of self. And I think a guy like Tyler wants that so that he can manipulate mm-hmm. and just have his way and control. It's not that Gabby's rough around the edges. It's that Gabby knows herself so well and has confidence and boundaries and standards. And Tyler knows he cannot meet those ever.
100%. 100% agree with
you. You call someone rough around the edges when you are intimidated and feel like you cannot control them.
Yeah. And so he got to put them down to like feel some sort of power over them.
Yeah.
And so Gabby kind of spun out from this and like
poor
even
Gabby.
More. Yeah. And she's like, she was if basically mad. So Tyler did it perfectly. He's like, look, I really respect you. I think you're a great woman. You have all these amazing qualities.
Yeah.
I think personality wise, we don't click as well. But like, I really wish you all the best in your journey. I just wanted to be frank with you. He said it really nicely.
That's mature.
Yeah. And then Hayden went up and was trash. And so at the end of the night, they gave out group date roses, and Gabby was like, I'm not giving out a group date rose. It was a really weird scenario because when she made that decision, so you're sitting right beside Rachel on the couch, and like Rachel looked at her with his like accusatory eyes and like shock in her face, and I couldn't tell if she was like mad at Gabby for making that decision or if she was just like confused and shocked and concerned. It was just a weird reaction.
I would think it's the former because Rachel is not mature.
Yeah.
Or fully formed.
Yeah. It was really strange because then they had a chat when they were walking away and Gabby kind of filled Rachel in on what's going on. And Rachel was like, oh, like, do you want to address it? And Gabby's like, no, like, I'm not here to teach men how to treat women. And it was like, yes queen.
Snaps.
Yeah. And so then it's interesting because then they decide at the rose ceremony to give out separate roses. So they have two pedestals, each with, I think, 9 or 10 roses on it. I can't remember how many men were left. And basically, Jesse comes in and he's like, it's time for these women to go on separate journeys. If you're offered a rose, like, you can take it or leave it. And that was kind of how it was left. So then these women, we don't see the behind the scenes of like whether Gabby and Rachel, where they divvied it up, basically. Like, it really seems like they did probably like a snake draft to be like, I picked this guy, I picked this guy.
You taught me what a snake draft is.
Yeah.
A few episodes ago.
Well, I just don't see how they were so clearly delineated between the two of them. Like, I feel like there was a couple guys, like, I feel like Eric was one of them. I think there was another guy, Lucas. A few of them that both of them seemed interested in.
Mm-hmm.
But they seem to have made a decision like, no, these 10 are yours, these 10 are mine, these are who we're giving roses to.
Mm-hmm.
There will be no overlap. There will be no like giving men the choice. It's like, we're deciding, we're divvying them up in this way. And we didn't get to see that. And I would have loved to see that.
Yeah.
But so then they start.
How they came to that.
Exactly. And whether there was any like disagreement.
Mm-hmm.
But then they start giving the roses. And the first guy to decline was this guy named Termaine. And he declined rose. Rachel's rose.
Okay.
And it's kind of weird because he's like declining the rose and then he's kind of like looking over to Gabby like, save me. I'm telling you that I'm more interested in you. And mm-hmm. then we're like, what the hell is going to happen here? So Jesse Palmer comes in and he's basically says, it's not clear if they came up with this beforehand or just in the moment of the rose ceremony, but he basically says like, Termaine, go back to the line. If Gabby wants to choose you, she can choose you. But for now, Rachel, because you gave a rose and it was declined, I'm taking your rose away.
What the fuck?
So she wasn't able to give a rose to someone else after someone declined. Well, how does that make sense? It was so fucked. I kept on saying every time, like, this is so fucked. Why are they taking her roses away? And then it becomes like an odds game, right? Like, if you want more men to be there, you have to choose the ones that you think are most likely to accept your rose.
Exactly.
Which ended up, like, I swear, so then it ends up being that three guys decline Rachel's roses.
Uh-oh.
Nobody declines Gabby's roses.
Oh, shit.
And it was so weird, too, because once they accepted a rose, they each went to different parts of the house. And then it was also weird, the behavior of the men, because the men, when another guy joined, they'd, like, give him a big high five or hug. They'd be like, let's go. It was, like, literally, like, they were getting picked for a dodgeball team, and we're like, we're on the same team. It's like, do you understand what show you're on?
I don't. Honestly, I think Gabby and Rachel got fucked.
So fucked. It was so immature. These guys looked like they were part of, like, a dodgeball draft. It was just... it was just embarrassing.
I wouldn't want any of them for Gabby.
Yeah.
I don't really care for Rachel.
And so Rachel is like obviously really upset because these guys keep refusing her roses. And she's like, this is so embarrassing. I feel like this whole thing was to take our power back and it's backfired. And then it was really rude because Rachel says how she's feeling to Gabby and like aside they like take a moment break from the rose ceremony and Gabby's like, yeah, this is exactly how I felt last night, like totally, like the rules were reversed and I felt really set aside and really neglected. And Rachel said, yeah, but that was in private, this is in public, like I'm in front of everybody. And I was like, dude,
Rachel is not fully formed.
Yeah. And so what it ultimately,
whoever Rachel ends up with, it's not gonna last.
No, and pretty sure. So then when it ended up at the very last, like because they've taken all her roses away, she's got one rose left. And guess who she gives it to?
Who?
Hayden. The guy who just trashed Gabby and who she's like, oh, I hate him. I'm so mad at him for saying that to you. The rough around the edges comment. But I think it's because she just wanted to win in that moment and she just wanted to make sure that she had another guy. Because she ended up with 6 guys and Gabby ends up with 9. Now they're going on these separate journeys. And it's like, how is this possibly going to work when we've got so much season left, but we basically are like an episode before hometowns right now when it comes to Rachel?
Yeah, well, she's left with 6 men.
But then you see in the end credits, Meatball comes back because he rejected Rachel's rose. But then he came back and he's like, in the moment, I didn't know what I was doing. I want to continue. And I swear that's the producers being like, this was a bad idea because now we only have 6 men. We need more. Let's bring back Meatball. He was good TV. That's my theory.
What is Meatball's job? Because every time he appears on screen, it says Meatball Enthusiast. He's a sandwich maker,
I think.
For real?
Like a sandwich shop or something? I think so.
Goodbye.
Yeah, so that was that. And it was just, it's just so frustrating. I feel so bad for these women. Like, this is not the experience that they signed up for or wanted. And this, it's good now that it is actually divided because now at least they won't be competing for affection from the guys, which is not how it should be when you're a lead.
Mm-hmm.
But anyways, that's that on that.
So what was the preview for next week? What does it look like?
I don't know if it was a preview for next week or if it was a preview for like the rest of the season. I can't remember.
You honestly know what's going to come soon? BIP.
Yeah, isn't this supposed to be in August?
Yeah. Well, good. Like end of August.
Yeah. Okay. Sweet.
Yeah.
All right. Should we move on to our next show?
Let's do it.
Let's talk about Southern Charm.
Okay. So we're already on what, episode 7 or 8?
Has it been that many episodes? I thought we were on like episode 3.
Can you believe?
Are you serious?
No. Oh, that's Beverly Hills. I think we're on episode 5.
No, I think we're on like episode 3.
No. It's not that. No. Southern Charm. Go on.
Okay. So we start out the episode back at the Vanita Madison birthday party. And Vanita pulls Olivia out for a side chat. And I'm just really perplexed about this whole thing. And I don't know if everything's going over my head, but I just don't understand why Vanita is so mad at Olivia. And Vanita seems to be articulating that she's mad because Olivia walked away when she was saying that Catherine was a racist. And Olivia says, like, I will certainly have that conversation with you, but not in that context with a heated discussion where I feel like it's just not going to be a productive conversation.
Is that what she said?
Well, that's what she said. That's what I have in quotes. But
did she say that in her confessionals or to Vanita?
To Vanita.
Because what I saw at the party was Vanita and Olivia. And Vanita was annoying. I will confess to that. She was annoying. But Olivia immediately shut down any sort of invitation that Vanita gave her to have a conversation. Olivia was just like, no, I will not be participating in a conversation like that. I am not a racist. I am not this, not that. Like, oh, cancel culture, this and that. And Vanita was like, okay, we're not. I thought Vanita was like, this is not productive.
Oh, so I'm talking about why they were even having a talk in the first place. Like, that's kind of how their conversation devolved. But I was like, why are they even in a fight?
Right.
Do you know why they're in a fight?
I don't. I think it is because of the whole Catherine was being a racist and Olivia walked away.
I don't even remember that being part of the conversation at that party, though.
I truly don't know why they're fighting.
Yeah. I don't know. I just couldn't understand why Vanita was mad at the first place. And then, yeah, I think you're right in the conversation that they were having at the birthday party. Olivia very much was like, I don't want to have this conversation with you right now in this circumstance. And Vanita was trying to stay like cool, calm, and collected in the face of that. But obviously that's going to be very triggering when like you have an issue about race and someone who's white isn't listening or being receptive to it.
Or just like immediately shutting it down.
Yeah. I think Olivia was kind of trying to say like, this isn't my fight. Like, I think what I'm trying to figure out is, why is Olivia wrapped up in this? Like, is Vanita mad because she thinks Olivia's coming to Catherine's defense? Or, like, where is Olivia's connection to this whole thing?
No, I'm in the same boat as you. I don't really know where it's coming from.
The conversation just completely devolved, though, and
they didn't really get anywhere with it.
Mm-hmm.
But then we move to Paige and Craig's date. And he starts asking Paige if he can hang out one-on-one with Naomi.
Paige's confidence in telling Craig, no, that would be weird.
Yeah.
Is what I wish I had once upon a time.
Yeah.
Because I don't, like, the way she said it and the way Craig just accepted it was like chef's kiss.
Yeah. She was just like, absolutely not. That's fucking weird.
But it would be weird if Craig and Naomi just met for drinks during the day. Like, what are you meeting for? You guys just had sex a month ago. This is not platonic.
Yeah. Like, what is the reason? Like, why do you need to hang out with them? And it was like, oh, well, if it's during the day, it's better. It's like, people can still fuck during the day.
100%. Like, but okay. If it's for production, like production wants you and Craig and Naomi to have some screen time and meet up, sure, that's your job. There's a camera crew there. Mm-hmm. It's being witnessed. But if you're just meeting up one-on-one, no camera crew, just for shits and giggles, what's the reason? Naomi wants to be with you. Well, she did at that time. And you guys just hooked up. It is weird.
Yeah, totally weird.
Yeah.
Yeah, so he agreed. He's like, hey, I won't do that. Then we move to Austin and Olivia's date. And Austin, again, is like shit-talking Madison's engagement. And Olivia's like, when is this going to fucking end? I don't want to talk about Madison anymore.
Well, he made their entire date about Madison.
The whole thing. And he was trying to explain her. He's like, you don't know what it's like when you've got like this trauma from this relationship. It's like, dude, like deal with it.
Outward towards anyone who will listen to validate what happened to him.
Yeah.
Because everyone has this perception, and rightfully so, that he was the problem.
Mm-hmm.
He was, I mean, they were both toxic, but Austin is fucking Austin.
Yeah.
And he's just like trying to say anything to anyone who will listen. And if he can get a girl who's interested in him to like validate his experience or his thoughts, then he's like, okay, good. Yeah. But that's not a way to start a relationship.
No, and Olivia wasn't giving it either. Like, she was just rolling her eyes. She's like, can we stop talking about Madison? Like, I don't care. I'm not your therapist. Go to fucking therapy.
Yeah.
Okay. But the big part of the episode was really Austin, Craig, and Shep going on their little boys trip.
Mm-hmm.
So, first of all, Craig was texting and driving the entire time, and it was making me uncomfortable.
Craig looked hot.
He did look good in his golf outfit. Oh, okay, yeah.
In his what?
He was wearing a backwards hat and it looked really nice.
Yeah, he looks good in backwards hats.
Yeah.
Backward hat.
Good job.
Backward hat.
Backward hat. He looks good in backward hats. In a backward hat.
Is it backward or backwards?
I think it's...
Wear your hat backwards. Or is it backward?
I think it's just backward, but people say backwards because it just is easier to say.
He looks good in backward hats.
Yeah, okay.
He looks good when he wears his hat backwards.
Moving the fuck on.
Moving the fuck on. Go on.
So they arrive at their location and all of the guys FaceTime their girlfriends. And then Shep is talking to Taylor She says, like, be good. Or she's like, what are you doing tonight? And they're like, oh, we're going out to bars. And she's like, be good. And then Shep gets like, turns on his manipulative energy and says, what am I going to do? Are you crazy? How many drinks have you had?
I hate when a guy says to a girl, are you crazy? Or you're being crazy.
Or how many drinks have you had? Or are you on your period?
Yeah. Ugh. Or, oh, are we doing this again?
Oh my gosh.
You're never happy. Get fucked.
This is so triggering.
Yeah, for you and I both.
I just couldn't believe, like, so he takes a call in the bathroom, like, there's mics there too, bro.
Mm-hmm.
And he's because he's like flipping out on her and being super gaslighty and manipulative. And she's like, I haven't had any drinks, like, I have anxieties. And Craig go ahead.
She sent that big text. I don't know if you're getting to it or not.
I didn't see what the text actually said, but yeah,
sent like an essay to him being like, I really apologize for how I reacted. I was in the wrong, this and that. I'm really starting to have guilt and anxiety about how I reacted. And I felt so bad for her because I was like, I literally have said these words to someone who was gaslighting and manipulating me.
Yeah, because they make you think like you are the crazy one.
And I feel so bad for her.
Yeah.
That's why when I heard the news that they broke up, I was happy.
So was I. It's like, you need to get away from this toxic relationship. Like, this man is fucking you up.
Yeah.
And Craig was actually somewhat like woke in woke
yeah.
in his confessional, because he's like, look, when there's infidelity, you're gonna have scars from that, and it's something that you're gonna have to continue to address. Like, it doesn't just disappear.
These are the moments that I'm always like, oh, I really like Craig. Like, Craig's actually one of the good ones, but he's also fucked himself.
Well, because then we get to their bowling date, and Shep goes off, and he's talking to some random woman at a bar.
Of course.
And then Craig and Austin are having, like, a side chat, and they're basically like, yeah, he's not a relationship guy. And Craig says to Austin, like, yeah, like, I know shit, you know shit, everyone knows shit except for Taylor. It's like, okay, clearly he's cheated on her more than she's aware of.
Oh my god.
And they're just like, what, covering up for her? Like, I hate that.
Why is, okay, actually, I want to ask you, if I cheated, would you cover for me?
Oh, 100%.
Oh, okay. Well,
that's not a question.
I would cover for you too. But behind the scenes, I'd definitely be like, Laura.
No.
What the fuck?
Oh, yeah. You would hold me accountable one-on-one, but you would never blow up my spot, so to speak. You'd be like encouraging me to be like, you need to tell him. You wouldn't say, I'm going to tell him or else.
Yeah.
Like, you need to tell him or I'm going to tell him.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think you'd ever, like, neither of us would ever infiltrate each other's relationship like that.
What would you do if I did it?
I would be like, okay, we need to figure out why this happened. Mm-hmm. And I will take it to my grave.
Mm-hmm.
And whatever you want to do is the choice for you. But, like, let's figure out why you cheated and whether this relationship that you're actually in is the right one for you.
Yeah.
What would you do?
No, I think we'd do the same thing. I think I would say I'd take it to my grave too. But I'd be more like, I think you need to tell.
Yeah. And I think for me, sometimes I think it's best that if I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it's a bad thing necessarily that I don't know all the time.
Teeps, cover your ears.
No, like, I don't think it's... I think sometimes in past relationships, I'd rather have not known about some of the cheating.
Mm.
And I think I would have been just as well off.
You think you would still be in those relationships?
No.
No.
I just think,
obviously, like, if there's cheating, there are other fundamental issues.
Yeah. And it's like, do I need to know everything? No. Like, I don't know. I just don't think it's critically important to confess everything if you're going to be leaving the relationship anyways. It's like, mm-hmm. why leave the scar of that
mm-hmm.
as opposed to just, like, leaving the relationship?
Yeah. I mean, if you're going to leave the relationship, then sure. Maybe you don't. If you're going to tell, then that's probably just to relieve your own guilty conscience, which yeah. doesn't help the other person. But if you are planning on working on the relationship and staying in it, I do think you need to tell everything. Say everything.
Yeah. Otherwise, you're going to have, like, a big secret hanging over the relationship for the rest of your life.
Yeah. Because then what if you just tell them one secret and then you guys work through it and you finally get over it and you're like, oh my God, we're in such a good place, blah, blah, blah. A couple years down the line, you find out they lied about something else and you're just like, are you fucking kidding me?
Yeah, no, that's,
it's
like
an even bigger sequence. Wound.
But what if it's like a one-off, just happened one night, never going to happen again, blip on the radar?
Well, here's the thing. Like, I had one ex where that did happen, and they confessed to me immediately after it happened and were so remorseful, like, just let me have it, have at them, and, like, was down to talk about it whenever I wanted, even if it was 6 months later, answered all the questions and told me everything. And I found that our relationship actually got stronger and I could trust him even more than before. But that's like if the person tells you themselves relatively
quickly. And if they
tell
you everything.
They tell you everything and they don't like hate you for being upset about it.
Because I've been in relationships where there has been confessions of disloyalty, but it's like a cover-up confession.
Right.
It's like
no,
they tell you
same.
One thing and then like there's a million other things behind the scenes that you don't know.
Right. So that's what I was going to say. Like the one ex who did confess everything on his own and relatively quickly, fine. That was one thing I could let pass. If it happened again, no. But then there was another ex where that did happen, where it was like they tell you some version of the truth, but don't tell you a million other things that actually end up mattering. And that cannot happen.
Yeah.
And it's just hard to know what you're receiving in that moment.
But all this is not to say, like, it's a pass for cheating.
No, and all this is not to say, like, what would you do if you're not the person in the scenario? You mm-hmm. know, like, if you're the friend of the person who's been disloyal.
Oh, yeah.
I just don't think it's the friend's role to interject in a relationship and make decisions for the person who's actually in it. Mm-hmm. So in this situation where, like, Craig and Austin are covering up, mm-hmm. I think that's probably what I would do, too.
Yeah, I would
take if it was unless I was like equally best friends, which I only have one friend like that. Like if either of them, I'd be like, fuck, no, I'm not. You tell them or I'm telling them because like I have my equal loyalty. But for any other scenario where I'm friends with one and then I become friends with the other, like, no, my absolute loyalty is to my first friend.
Right. No, I think we're on the same page.
Yeah.
But if I was really good friends with both, I'd be like, dude, I can't keep the secret, and it's not fair for you to ask me to keep the secret.
And it's weird too because I almost have a different, I don't know if it's a different perspective, but when it's a girl who cheated, it's like, take it to my grave. If it's a guy who cheated, I'm like,
I'm in the same boat. I'm in the same boat.
I'm like, I don't know, this girl, feel like girl code in this scenario. Like,
well, not only that, but like, more often than not, the woman cheats because something significant is lacking in the relationship. And that's like her last resort. But the guy, I don't know. This is me being pretty stereotypical. That's it.
Yeah. I think it's also because in most scenarios, I'm not closer to the guy. So like I would have more loyalty to the girl in that scenario too. Mm-hmm. I don't know. That's a hard thing.
It's very hard. I think if one of my brothers cheated, I would take it to the grave. But I'd be like, you're not a good person.
Yeah.
You need to tell them or you need to leave if they keep doing it.
Yeah. If they keep doing it. I just think it's like not black and white. It's not like you're a bad person, you're a good person. It's like there's various different reasons why people cheat.
No, for sure. But I think as a sister, to get through to them, sometimes you need to say certain things.
Yeah. But if you said that to me, I'd be like,
I don't know. No. If I said that to you. No, what am I trying to say here? Like, I don't know. I need some time to articulate this better.
This is a real pop therapy this. Moment.
We'll revisit this on the next episode.
Yeah, let's see how this plays out. Yeah. All right, well, that's kind of it for Southern Charm.
Why do you always say it like that?
What?
Southern Charm.
Am I saying it weird?
Southern Charm.
You
always say it like that.
How do you say it?
Southern.
Southern, I don't know. It's kind of like the Southern. Same way I also say Newfoundland, and it always makes people extremely angry.
Makes me uncomfortable. By people, I mean
my boyfriend.
We are going to be on episode 6 this Thursday.
Wow, you're right. Mm. Good job. Keeping track.
Keeping up. Okay, I will say that in the break, while we were switching gears, I reflected on what I was trying to say about the cheating thing.
Okay.
If my brothers cheated, it wouldn't be that I'd be like, you're not a good person. Obviously, I'd be like, okay, same thing as you. Like, what happened? Like, what led to it? What's the root cause of this? Why is this happening? I think it would be like, I'd just be thinking, what if this happened to me? Wouldn't you be upset if a guy cheated on me, type of a thing, to get right. through to them?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Yeah. That's what I was trying to say.
Okay.
I love my brothers. They're great people.
Same.
Go on.
All right, I just want to touch briefly on Beverly Hills. There wasn't a ton of that happened in this episode, but I did think it was hilarious when Kyle had her dinner party and she brought in Jamie Lee Curtis.
What was that? Why was that?
So Jamie Lee Curtis and Kyle, I think, are both involved with like a children's hospital charity.
Okay,
cool. And then I don't even know if this was related to that charity, but it was some sort of fundraiser. And at one point, Jamie Lee Curtis was showing all these items that they used to sell to like fundraise. Mm-hmm. And Dorit was like tripping over herself to give compliments to these janky ass random things. Jamie Lee Curtis would hold up like a wind chime and she was like, oh my gosh,
I do remember that. Yeah,
that is the chicest wind chime I've ever seen. Mm-hmm. And then she holds up a tumbler and Dorit is like, oh, it keeps things hot and cold. Like, her comments on everything, like a driver's license cover. She's like, wow, I have never seen such a
beautiful driver's license cover. Like, literally every single thing she had a comment.
What's that cup that you gave me that's like a Yeti frosted what?
A Frost Buddy?
Frost Buddy. Next time you give me that when I come over on Thursday, I'm gonna be like, wow, it keeps things hot and cold.
Pulling a treat. Other than that, there wasn't a lot until a lot of it focused on Crystal's eating disorder, because during this time period of filming, okay, she had just posted on Instagram, like basically disclosing her the details of her eating disorder.
You can talk about what happened, but that was not cool.
What wasn't?
Erica.
Oh, yeah. Erica's trash. So it was so everyone was kind of like peppering her with questions, and I just thought the questions were all so insensitive. Like, very, everyone wanted and details.
Intrusive.
So intrusive. Like, Kyle and Erica both were asking details, like, basically, do you eat and then purge? Like, do you throw up?
Ask or, her one-on-one.
Yeah, and why do you need to know? Why is it important for you to know the nature of their eating disorder? Like, why do you need to know if she doesn't eat or if she eats and throw up? Like, that makes no fucking difference to how you need to support your friend. Mm. If anything, it's just, like, your curiosity is, like, toxic curiosity. But that's the thing,
you know, it's not curiosity for them. It's not, like, how can I be there for you? It's, like, let's get the goss.
Totally.
That's the issue, because I do think it can be helpful for the person trying to support someone else to know, like, why you do it, how it happens, what you do, so they can be there for you. But that's not the case with these ladies. It's gossip for them.
Yeah. Yeah. And if it was framed in a different manner than just like, ooh, tell me all about your eating disorder. Mm-hmm. So interesting. If it was framed in a way of like, how can I help you and be cognizant of things to help you, what if I notice certain things happening? Mm-hmm. That should be the question. It shouldn't be, so do you throw up or do you just not eat?
Yeah.
Like, and then so Crystal's explaining this, and Erica says some comment like, well, I just use laxatives. Like, I'd much prefer for it to come out that end than the other. And it's like, why are you telling someone with an eating disorder another way to like be toxic about food? Mm-hmm. Like, why are you recommending laxatives effectively? And at the very end of the episode, that
was shocking.
So shocking. But obviously she's being herself and her drunk self. And at the end of the episode, right near the end, this like waitress or waiter comes around with a plat of food, and Erica like takes plat. One. It's not called a, what's it called? Isn't a plat like a?
Sure, you didn't just mean plate?
No, I meant plat, but I might not know how to exist. Yeah, that's what I was thinking. What's plat for short?
Three letters.
I just like, you know, toxic shortening of words through Meads. Osmosis.
Throw me a Meads box.
Did you say that today?
Yeah, you did.
Okay, anyways, so this person comes around with a platter of food, mm-hmm, and plats. Erica takes one, and then Crystal comes over to be like, ooh, what's that? And then Erica says, you can't have that. It's a chicken tender.
Jesus Christ.
And it's like, why are you now telling someone who just confessed their eating disorder that they can't eat food because it's fried? Like,
so I think you shouldn't tell anyone what they can or can't eat unless they have disclosed allergies to you.
Totally. Totally.
You have no say.
And like, why are you, if that was a joke, like, why are you joking about it? Like, none of it makes sense.
Nope.
Like, she is so offensive. She's so unhinged.
I hate her.
Yeah, I'm done with her. But anyways, that was kind of the highlights of the episode.
There was really nothing else, was there?
No, not really. More what's like Sut and Diana kind of wrapping up, but I just like frankly don't care about them anymore.
Well, what's happening in next week's episode? Kathy's going to be part of it.
Oh, Kathy ate a... Was this the episode where she ate the baked potato with caviar?
Yes. Piled on top? That was Kyle as the one meal.
Yeah, I'm like, this is really weird. I don't remember what I don't really watch the preview, so I don't know what's happening next week.
Well, seems like we'll see more of Kathy.
Yes.
And that's about it.
That's about it. So we'll be back next week, potentially with a brand new interface. So stay tuned for exciting new changes to come to Pop Therapy.
We'll be with you remotely and recording remotely.
Don't remind me. It's not happening.
Denial.
It's not happening.
Denial.
Bye.